CIB. From the records of Australasian police cases come these true stories of day and night vigilance that protects our lives and our property, of prevention and detection in the unceasing war against crime. CIB. From New Zealand, the true story of the case of the farmer's boots. This is a true story from the records of Australasian police cases. Only names, place names, and dates have been altered. Murder is not always a sudden thing. Sometimes it comes as the result of a hatred built up over a long period. It was that way with Raymond Cooper, a young New Zealand dairy farmer. But there was nothing logical or sensible about his attitude. He was capable of building up a towering sense of injustice over trifles. Cooper was what we'd call a paranoic, and at this time this story begins, a matter of 25 years ago, he was nursing an unreasoning anger against his neighbours, the Maguires. One afternoon, he walked into his house looking anything but amiable.
You're back early, Ray. What's wrong?
It's those flaming Maguires again. I've had enough.
What have they done this time?
They've stolen some cows. That's what they've done.
How do you know?
They were grazing by the creek over by the Maguires' north paddock. I know him. It would have been as easy as taking a bath to nick over and grab those three cows.
Oh, Ray, do you really think that's right? You know what your fences are like up there. The cows could have wandered anywhere.
Ah, oh, don't be so naive, Jean. You think everybody in this world is like the kids you teach at Sunday school.
I'm sure the Maguires are perfectly nice people.
That's what you think. Maguire's been at me all the year. First he wants to share the rights to the creek. Then he wants a track through the boundary fence. He couldn't get that, so he goes for a seat on the Shire Council.
Well, lots of people like to help with the Shire Council.
Ah, not him. He's trying to undermine me. But he's overstepped the mark this time. You can't thieve people's cattle and get away with it.
You'd better be careful, Ray. It's dangerous to talk like that.
Careful? You're telling me to be careful. He's the one that's got to look out. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going over to see those Maguires right now.
Oh, Ray, don't do that, please. Why don't you wait? You don't settle anything that way.
Oh, yes, you do. That's the only way you do settle anything. Not by sitting and mooning out the window the way you're doing. I'll be back when you see me. What's wrong with them? They keep a man waiting all day. Oh, come on, can't you?
Oh, hello, Mr. Cooper.
Is your husband in, Mrs. Maguire?
No, Jeb's gone into Hamilton. Won't be back before 6 o'clock.
Oh, that's nice, that is. I wanted to have a few words with him.
Well, perhaps you'd like to have them with me. I know as much about the place as he does. Can you come in?
No. All I got to say, I can say out here.
All right, then. I'll come out on the veranda.
I want to know what's happened to my three cows that were grazing by the creek near your north paddock.
I'm sure I don't know. Had a good look around?
I haven't had a good look around your place, Mrs. Maguire.
What are you suggesting?
You know what I'm suggesting. I'm not going to beat about the bush. I reckon your husband's taken.
What a nerve you've got. Jeb's always been too soft with you. Let me tell you, it's a different kettle of fish when you say things like that to me.
Now, don't try and cover it up. You know all about it.
Oh, we wouldn't steal your miserable cows. It's funny, really, that you've got the nerve to come in and accuse us of anything. Or have you forgotten Hilda Robbins?
What about Hilda Robbins?
She was your girlfriend, wasn't she? Tell me how she was murdered. They never solved that one, did they?
What are you getting at? They had an inquest. There was no evidence against me at all.
Oh, wasn't there? Just the same, everybody knows who did it.
Yeah, that's typical of you, Maguires. Spreading slander against a man. You want to get rid of me, don't you? Well, you just wait. I'll get even.
Well, I don't doubt that for a moment. Given half a chance, I suppose you'll fix me and Jeb the same way as you did Hilda Robbins.
Don't you talk to me like that!
Oh, get out, go on. Get out of here before I put the dogs on you.
Good afternoon, Sergeant. Fletcher's my name, Tom Fletcher.
What can I do for you, Mr. Fletcher? I've a place 10 miles down the road, Sergeant, next door to Jeb McGuire's. I thought I'd better let you know that Jeb and his wife have both disappeared.
Disappeared?
Yes. Well, how I found out was, he didn't milk his cows last night. They were bellowing like one thing. I took my boy Jim over to see what was up. Nobody was there, so we milked the cows between us.
Well, perhaps they were called away to some emergency.
I thought of that too, but I've changed my mind.
Why was that?
Well, Jeb always puts his cream cans on the road by his gate. Actually, he's got a little stand there. Bill Morrow, he's the carter bloke, can pick them up without even getting down from the truck.
Well?
Well, this time the cream cans weren't on the stand. They were down on the road, and Bill had to get off his truck to pick them up. And that's never happened before.
You think somebody else put out those cream cans?
I do. And I think something's happened to Jeb and his wife. No dairy farmer would go off and leave his cows unmilked. Not without telling his neighbour. And it would have been me he'd have told, and not his other neighbour.
Why not, Mr. Fletcher? Who is his other neighbour, anyway?
Well, you know him. Ray Cooper. A real nasty piece of work. Jeb's been feuding with him for years.
Yeah, that's so. I'd heard about that.
And another thing. Late yesterday afternoon, there was a terrific lot of smoke coming from a shed at the back of Cooper's house.
Was there anything odd about that?
I don't suppose so. I guess he was burning off. The only thing is, it was such a dark colour. Almost like oil or something. Besides, you don't usually burn off on a Sunday.
Anybody else remarked on the Maguire's absence?
Only Jack Hepburn. Jack does a bit of butchering on the side, and Jeb always goes to his place on a Sunday to pick up his meat. Well, Jeb's meat is still there waiting to be collected.
Hmm. I suppose you'd know the Maguire's better than most, wouldn't you?
They're my oldest friends. One way or another, I spend half my time in their house. I'm telling you, Sergeant, something's happened to those two. And I think you should look into it right away.
That's exactly what I intend to do. And I'd like you to come with me, if you would, Mr. Fletcher.
Well, no point in knocking, Sergeant. You saw the milk cans out there. If Jeb was home, we'd have brought them in.
You'd imagine so.
Go in, then. The door won't be locked.
You lead, Mr. Fletcher. You know the place.
And that's the main bedroom in there.
The bed's not slept in, I see.
Over here is the kitchen. Just have a look at this.
What is it?
There's their dinner on the top of the stove. Been there all night by the look of it.
Sausages and vegetables. Stone cold. Mrs. McGuire must have put them there to keep them hot for some reason. They certainly must have been called away suddenly.
I don't like it, Sergeant.
Otherwise, is everything the way it usually is? I mean, does anything seem to be missing?
Well, I had a good look round before, when I was trying to get a clue what had happened to them. A pea rifle's gone and a shotgun.
Yeah, indeed. Anything else?
Well, I looked in Jeb's wardrobe. Apart from his working clothes, well, he'd have been wearing these, of course, there's a suit missing and a pair of my boots.
Your boots?
Yes, I left them here last week. Too muddy to wear to town, so I changed into a pair I'd brought with me and dumped these here.
But whoever took them wouldn't know that.
That's what I thought. He'd have taken it for granted they were Jeb's boots.
Very interesting. Well, there's only one thing to do now.
What's that?
We'll have to search the property from end to end. The swamp is as good a place to start as any.
Sergeant, come over here a moment.
Yeah? What is it, Mr. Fletcher?
Look at those bags in the duck pond.
Yeah. Yes, they shouldn't be there, surely. Can you get over to them?
Oh, easily. The water's only about 6 inches deep.
Pick up the bags and look underneath.
Just a minute, I can't quite... Oh, no.
What is it, Mr. Fletcher?
It's poor Margaret. Mrs. McGuire. I'd say she'd been beaten to death.
Come in. Oh, it's you, Mr. Fletcher. Come along in.
I just thought I'd come round and see if there was anything new, Sergeant.
No, I'm afraid there's nothing much to report. Since Mrs. Maguire's body was discovered, we've gone over every inch of the property. We must have questioned about 200 people up and down the district. Still not a trace of him.
Well, what about the death of Mrs. Maguire?
Well, they've held a post-mortem.
And what's the result?
Well, they found extensive bruises on her face. Even her dental plate was damaged. But the actual cause of death seems to have been drowning.
What do you think happened then?
Well, that's yet to be found out. But presumably the murderer knocked her down, possibly knocking her unconscious. Then maybe he dragged her to the pond and drowned her, throwing the bags on afterwards.
What a hideous thing to do.
Mind, that's only a theory. But the big problem at the moment is, what's happened to her husband? We can't get anywhere until we locate him.
Why don't you have another talk with Cooper?
I intend to. Somehow I can't help feeling that if anyone can give us a lead, he can.
So you're still trying to find out what happened to Jeb Maguire? Well, to me it's as clear as daylight.
Why do you say that, Mr. Cooper?
Well, he murdered the old girl and went for his life. Is it an obvious, Sergeant?
It's not as simple as all that, you know. Why didn't he take any of his belongings with him, apart from his boots and one suit of clothes?
Because he wanted to make a good, clean getaway. It's as easy as pie. You want to find the murderer? Then find Jeb Maguire. He did it. Not that I care. It's your problem, not mine, thank goodness.
It certainly was a problem Sergeant Bradshaw had in his hands. Cooper deftly threw suspicion on Maguire, and for a time it was impossible to contradict him, because Maguire had completely disappeared. The alert for Jeb Maguire went out all over New Zealand. His photograph was published again and again in all the newspapers. The government offered £100 reward for information as to his whereabouts. But Sergeant Bradshaw still held to his original theory. He thought he had a fair idea of what had happened to Jeb Maguire. Several days after the finding of Mrs. Maguire's body, the sergeant was inspecting an old farm cut. With him was a policeman, Constable David Rosser.
It's a funny old cart, isn't it?
Old's right. I've never seen one quite like it.
Probably dates back to the 1880s. Long before your time, Dave.
Wonder what it's doing here, Sergeant.
I don't know. It hasn't been here very long. Look, there's a very faint track. It's been pushed about a quarter of a mile from the back of the house to this spot, which is, let me see, about 20 yards from Cooper's boundary fence.
You wouldn't think anybody would dare move it at all. You'd think it'd fall apart.
Well, it didn't, apparently. Have you a penknife, Dave?
Yes. Here you are.
Oh, what a penknife. Big enough to chop down a tree.
Well, you never know. A knife like that can come in handy.
Come over here. I'm going to try scraping between the boards on the floor of the couch.
What is it, mud?
Oh, I don't think so. Get a closer look.
I see what you mean.
What would you say that is?
Dried blood, I'd imagine.
So would I. I believe a body was carried in this cart. And if you look over the fence there, you'll see another set of wheel marks.
But not of the same cart?
No. The tracks are quite different.
Is that right? That means a body could have been transferred from one cart to another. Sergeant, I think you're onto something.
You never want to get too optimistic in this business, because you run into too many disappointments.
But surely this is a pretty good indication that Jeb Maguire was murdered.
Well, I'll grant you things are beginning to add up. I've been making a close study of Maguire's tool shed this morning. And that's where the cart tracks lead from.
Well?
And it's far too clean. Looks as if it had been just scrubbed down and actually scraped in parts.
To get rid of bloodstains?
Could be.
How do you think he died?
Oh, I don't know yet. But a pea rifle and a shotgun were both missing from the house.
I didn't know that.
Now tell me, Dave. Say you just shot a man right here and you wanted to get rid of the gun. How would you go about it?
Well, it's a bit difficult. I'd probably bury it just to go over there and throw it in the swamp.
We're going to drain that swamp and see what's at the bottom.
It was impossible for the police to drain all the swamp, but the parts that couldn't be drained, they dragged with painstaking thoroughness. and they found the P-rifle that had been missed from McGuire's house. That afternoon, Sergeant Bradshaw decided it was high time to pay another call on Raymond Cooper.
Are you back again, eh, Sergeant?
Yes, Mr. Cooper.
Well, you know, I'm only too anxious to do what I can to help you.
Yes, I've noticed that already. In fact, I've received wonderful cooperation from everybody in this district. Dozens of people have come forward and volunteered information. I don't think there's anyone who hasn't been prepared to join the search parties.
They've all been in it, eh?
Strangely enough, all except you, Mr. Cooper.
Oh, now, turn it up. I'm the man who gave you the straight information on McGuire in the first place.
What do you mean?
I told you how it happened. McGuire bumped off his old woman, then went for his life. Can't say I blame him. I'd have done the same if I'd had to live with her.
Well, that theory would be very nice, except that we have reason to believe that McGuire is dead, too.
Not a hope. He wouldn't have the nerve to kill himself.
Possibly not, but somebody else might have.
You're welcome to think what you like. I've tried to tell you what happened.
Mr. Cooper, we found some tracks left by McGuire's old cart. Those tracks lead up to your boundary fence. And more tracks lead from the fence on your side round to the back of your house.
What of it?
Just this. We found bloodstains on McGuire's cart. Also bloodstains on your cart.
What's been going on around here? You've got no right to go snooping around my house.
Now, just a minute, Mr. Cooper.
You're trying to pin this on me. I'm not going to stand for it, you see.
Don't get upset. If you want to avoid suspicion, the best thing you can do is cooperate.
You can suspect all you like. I'm in the clear.
Well, then, you don't mind if we look around a little. Would you object if we drained your sheep dip?
I don't give a hoot what you do. Snoop all you like. But just be careful. I've got a property to run here. Don't you waste any of my sheep dip.
We'll watch it.
You better. If that sheep dip goes and any of my sheep die, I'll hold you responsible.
I'm sorry we had to call you in again, Mr. Fletcher, but you're the only one who knew Jeb McGuire well enough to help us.
That's all right, Sergeant. What's doing?
We've switched our investigations to Cooper's property, and this afternoon we drained his sheep dip.
Were you looking for something in particular?
Anything that would give us a lead. At the bottom of the dip, we found this cigarette lighter. Do you recognize it?
Of course I do. It's Jeb's.
You're quite positive?
Yes, he was never without it. Well, I'd say Jeb had that lighter for the best part of 10 years. I even recognize the wick in it.
Huh? How could
Look,
you?
The wick's homemade. I remember when he put it in. It's made out of cotton he got from his wife's work basket. I remember because I told him it'd never work. It did, though. Even with that homemade wick, the lighter lit every time.
Well, thank you, Mr. Fletcher. You've been quite a help.
Oh, I don't see how. I mean, the lighter can't help you much.
Well, it's not proof, but it's the first real indication that Jeb McGuire might be found on Cooper's property.
So what are you going to do now?
Well, Cooper was complaining about interference on his place before. Well, there'll be a lot more complaints now. I'm going to send a team out there tomorrow, and we're going to dig Cooper's place over from end to end. There must be more around than just a cigarette lighter.
Sergeant Bradshaw was right. There was a great deal more around. The police set about one of the most extensive digging operations ever carried out in a murder investigation. They did, in fact, dig over Cooper's entire property, delving around every building and outhouse and all over the orchard and the garden. They took what they found back to Hamilton in a large cardboard box. 12 hours later, Sergeant Bradshaw was telling Constable Rosser the story.
Well, Dave, no wonder Cooper was so insistent that McGuire had cleared out.
You mean he told that story thinking McGuire would never be found?
Exactly. Cooper burned McGuire's body, and to make sure that his disappearance was absolutely complete, he scattered what couldn't be burned far and wide over the property.
Must have taken him hours and hours to do it.
Yes, but took a heck of a lot longer to find it all again. But now I've checked and double-checked everything. Fletcher, his neighbor, has identified a few of the things.
Well, what were they, Sergeant?
Well, there was a nice old cherrywood pipe McGuire always smoked. We found the charred bits of it. The metal parts of the fireman-type braces he always wore. And bits of his gun boots, his watch. Personal things like that.
But what about the body?
Well, the scientific branch has been working on that all night. They've identified 52 bones as forming parts of a human skull. As for the other bones, according to the tests applied, they were burnt very recently.
Makes you wonder, doesn't it? What can make a man do a thing like that to another?
Yes, but that's not our worry.
Cooper's going to have a job explaining all this away.
Which reminds me, he should be here by now. It's an hour and a half since they went out to pick him up.
Maybe they had a bit of trouble locating him. These farmers get...
Hello? Yes, speaking. What? Surely not. But there was a guard right round the place. Oh, I see. Okay, I'll take it down. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Persecution. Yeah. Mm. Right. Yes, all right. As soon as you can. Thanks, Johnson.
What's happened, Sergeant?
Well, Cooper's got away. Just as it was getting dark, he slipped out of a back window and disappeared.
What did his wife have to say?
That he'd left her a letter. I took a note of the wording. Dear Jean, I'm leaving. I can't stand the endless persecution. Don't think of me anymore. Within an hour, I shall be dead. Forgive me, Ray.
He's going to commit suicide.
If you can believe the note. And I'd say it was highly unlikely. Cooper once said that Jeb McGuire wouldn't have the nerve to commit suicide. I doubt if Cooper would either.
Let me see now. You said your name was Cooper, I think.
That's right.
Are you the Raymond Cooper the police have been looking for over the past week?
Yes, I'm Raymond Cooper, all right. And I want a good lawyer. I need someone to get me out of this. You do plenty of criminal cases, don't you?
Well, I have defended in a few cases, yes. How do you wish to plead in this case?
Well, not guilty, of course. I didn't have anything to do with McGuire's death.
There's quite an account in this morning's paper.
What's it say?
Quite a bit. The way I read it, the police have done a pretty good job of reconstruction.
They're making it all up.
You know that couldn't be true, Mr. Cooper.
Well, most of it's sure to be sheer imagination. Well, I mean to say...
The police aren't given to imagining things, you know. Oh, and another thing. There's a photo of you in the paper with a caption saying you're being sought for questioning.
And that's why I'm here. You've got to think of some way of getting me out of it.
Mr. Cooper, I'm a reputable lawyer. You've come to me for advice. Well, the only advice I can give you is that you must go at once to the police.
But I can't do that.
I'm afraid you must. And for my part, I intend to call the police immediately to tell them that you've been to see me. If, as you say, you're innocent, then you've nothing to fear. Believe me, this is the best way to handle it, Mr. Cooper.
The city solicitor was as good as his word and immediately called the police. Cooper was arrested and charged. The prosecution called no less than 78 witnesses. The trial lasted for 4 weeks. The evidence was so damning that when Cooper was invited to enter the witness box and refute the police reconstruction of the crime, he refused, apparently considering it useless. He was found guilty and sentenced to death. Some weeks later, Cooper's neighbor, Mr. Fletcher, was talking with Sergeant Bradshaw.
You know, Sergeant, I don't know when anything's impressed me so much as the way you police managed to reconstruct Cooper's actions. Down to the last detail, as you might say.
Well, it took a bit of patience.
Patience? Yes, and cleverness, too. I mean, from the time Cooper took the shotgun and the pea rifle from the McGuire's house and went and hid in the tool shed...
That's right. That's how Mrs. McGuire came to be involved. When she came past the shed, he panicked, knocked her unconscious and dragged her inside.
And it tricked me for a long while why he'd stolen a suit of clothes and a pair of boots from McGuire's house. But you jumped to it that he was trying to make it appear that he'd murdered his wife and then cleared out.
Exactly.
Just one other thing, Sergeant. When did you first become convinced that Jeb McGuire had been murdered?
When you pointed out to me that Cooper had taken your boots in mistake for McGuire's.
That was the first big lead?
Yes. If McGuire really had murdered his wife and skipped off, he would have taken his own boots, not a pair of yours that had been left at the house. Well, Cooper picked up the first pair he saw. Of course, he wasn't to know who owned them.
It's funny how the little things so often lead to the solving of a murder.
Yes, they're the things we police are trained to look for. I'll guarantee that Ray Cooper never thought an old pair of boots would catch him.
Only names, place names and dates were altered in this true story. It was dramatized from the records of Australasian police cases. And now this is Roland Strong saying goodbye till next week, when it'll be another true story in this series, which is produced in the studios of Hector Crawford Productions by Dorothy Crawford.